Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have within you the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is aging on the pathway of the soul. And before we go forward with this topic, I would just like to say that we have a gift that we're going to send out to you for free. It's free of charge, and you'll hear more about that in a little while. We'll send it out to you, and all you have to do is call us up on our toll-free number, but we'll speak more about that later. Our opening thought for today is a quote from Aging on the Pathway of the Soul, and that's more or less a goodwill commentary remark quote. And we like this thought. Let's pay close attention to it, because it's one that really requires some thought. Instead of regarding physical age as a period of withdrawal, a time when life is closing in, becoming limited, quiet, and restricted, people should realize that what is really happening is that spiritual opportunities are multiplying. The vistas of the soul are spreading in increasing glory as the barriers of small daily duties fall away, leaving them free to live as souls. And I'd like to give some credit to the founder of Lucis Trust. All of the dialogue in this show emanates from the works of Alice Bailey. She's the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. She's written 24 volumes of spiritual philosophy literature. And we would like you to really pay attention to our themes that all come from her works. And now to speak with Sarah and Dale about this topic. What do you think about the efforts to extend the length of life well into old age?
Well, it seems to be a growing phenomenon that medical science can prolong the body well past the limits of even a few decades ago. And this is a worldwide phenomenon. And yet, I think spiritually, many of us believe that the duration of time on earth is known to the soul from the beginning, and that every lifetime has a duration that is, in a sense, fixed mm-hmm. in terms of the soul's plan for that lifetime. And so I've always wondered, when you take extreme measures to prolong the life of the body into old age, past a time when there is enjoyment or growth, maybe it's not really serving any good purpose. I would think the better focus would be on making the most of the years you have. And that is increasingly an issue that is gripping many societies mm-hmm. because people live so long. Yeah. Not because of any particular efforts they're making, but just good health, nutrition, medical care enable us to live into the 70s, 80s, and 90s. In huge numbers. And in fact, the United Nations a couple of years ago held a year-long focus on the needs of the older persons. That was in 1999. And now in April, there's going to be a follow-up conference in Madrid on what societies and governments should do to make the older person a contributing member of society and make the last years abundant and fruitful.
I think this preoccupation that some people have with prolonging the physical life and prolonging the life of the physical body, you might say, that implies, at least to me, it implies a tendency to hold on to all of that is physical, when perhaps it might be better and more healthy attitude just to adopt a let-go policy. Now, let go. It's a time to be letting go, I think, especially of that, of the physical. And because this is just a very temporary vehicle, as sometimes the term is used, to for the short duration of the soul in the world. And so if I think that all this preoccupation with trying to preserve and keep the physical body going as long as it can, it's it may be kind of counterproductive.
Well, I think the key word is extend. I think your question said, what do you think about the efforts to extend the length of life?
Right,
that sounds like kind of a forcing process, doesn't it? Some people, and many people actually, are genetically disposed to living very long lives, and that's wonderful because that's natural. And we're not talking about that kind of phenomenon, but the extreme efforts of, having people on machines to keep them breathing and giving them water and food intravenously and so on over a long period of time when the body probably would have given up on its own auspices. I think that's what we're talking about.
Well, then, of course, you've got other extreme measures, such as Walt Disney and many others. Mm-hmm. There was a documentary on the other day about the number of people going to cryogenics.
I know.
And their intention is to come back maybe 1,000 years in the future.
Well, that's for people who believe their whole essence is tied up in a particular physical body, which thankfully I don't believe because I'm not that thrilled with mine. I've never been able to understand why you'd want to keep this carcass around forever and ever. Anyway, that's another, we digress.
Well, some people say that the spiritual life can be pursued at any time of life. Others say that old age is the best time. What do you think?
Well, the Eastern part of the world, especially the Asian countries, hold old age in great veneration. And their religious teachings view the old age person as wise and gifted spiritually. But then there's another view that says, why shouldn't you be able to develop spiritually at any time of your life?
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole of life is a time for gaining spiritual insight. So I think that there is no time in the life when the soul can't make its will known upon the physical and mental person if they are responsive to it. For example, some children come in with a very developed spiritual consciousness, even as very, very young children. But there are others, probably the vast majority, who live their early years pursuing material things, a career, talents, abilities that have to do with the material realm. And that's right for them. And it isn't until much later in life that they might turn their thoughts to the spiritual realm. Everybody's different. But Hinduism has a particular view of the spiritual path as coming in stages of the life. One goes through the stage of childhood, the stage of being a student. Then there's the householder stage when you are married and you develop your career and you take care of your family. And then after all of that has been done, then you become what is used to be called the forest dweller. People would, I guess, actually leave their homes and go out into the forest and wander free of all responsibilities to develop their spiritual consciousness and then return to the community as a sannyasin or sannyasin. I'm not sure how the word is pronounced. It's a Sanskrit word. But it means one who has gained in wisdom by giving up or renouncing everything of the material realm.
Mm-hmm.
So they saw life as a series of stages or cycles. I think my own view is that it ought to be a little more free form in the sense of each soul having a different plan.
I think it depends, yes, on the society that one grows up in, whether this study or pursuit of the spiritual life can take place in a very industrialized society like we live in. That tends to get pushed aside because we're so caught up in the daily life of the material world and making money and making a living and all of that. And so it's the any attention to what we might consider a spiritual life tends to get pushed aside for time. And then usually as one gets into older age, then those kind of interests begin to come into play, I think. And it may have to do with, like you said, the plan of the soul. When at a certain stage in the life, then the soul is more able to make an impact on that outer life. And
I think another difference, contrasting the Eastern and Western views of old age and spirituality, is that whereas in the East, in the Hindu society, one had to leave the community and the home and go off and wander in the forest, and I even read about a branch within Hinduism, the Jain movement, where they went out completely naked. Can you imagine? So that they were completely free of all material ties.
That's really loose.
I find that really fascinating to think about. But in the West, I think the goal is to not leave the home and society, but to transform your life where you are, within your community, within your home. The writings of Alice Bailey say that to this person in the West, the call remains the same, but the disciple goes not out. He remains where he is, and yet his attitude toward life is fundamentally altered. His whole inner life becomes a kind of a withdrawing, and that's what I think the real meaning of the sannyasin is. The older person is one who has withdrawn, not in the sense of withdrawing from life, mm-hmm. not at all, but withdrawing from the appeal of the material world, mm-hmm. withdrawing the consciousness onto a more abstract level, not being so fixed on the outer level where career and wealth and even family are found, mm-hmm. but developing the inner spiritual and mental life.
Right, and I think there's another another little matter here that kind of popped into my head, that as we age, we sometimes think that we are the one that is aging. In other words, mm-hmm. There is a difference here about what is aging. It's simply our physical body that mm-hmm. is aging, mm-hmm. but it's the real you, the real self within that body, your body.
Might be getting younger and younger.
It might be getting younger. It has no age at all, actually. Uh-huh. The soul doesn't think in terms of age as we understand it. We say, I'm getting old, I've got arthritis, I've got pain, I've got this and that kind of creakiness. Mm-hmm. And it isn't I at all. It's the identity is so closely identified with a body, there. The physical body, that we have to be able to differentiate between those two.
That reminds me of that wonderful line from the Bob Dylan song, "Ah, but I was older then, I'm younger than that now." I love that. You have to be a certain age to know that he really was hitting on something. I'm younger than that now. I was never so old as when I was a kid.
Well, a lot of people, they have this expression, they may be 65 years old, but I feel like I'm 35. So, mm-hmm. I mean, they're beginning to identify with that inner self that has no age, mm-hmm. really. Mm-hmm. And that's what really keeps you young.
Yeah.
Well, I know as far as myself, I'm looking forward to the next adventure. But at any rate, if you've just tuned in, for those people who just tuned in, we're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today is aging on the pathway of the soul. Also, I'd like to remind you that all the work of Lucis Trust, including this radio program, is funded by the voluntary donations of people like yourselves who support the goals of the Lucis Trust. We are not endowed, nor do we have a wealthy benefactor who helps to pay for this program. We depend on the donations, large and small, of individuals, so please give if you want these programs to continue on the air, and if you have a pen ready, I'll let you know where to send your donation to. Donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, and that's at 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, send your donations to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And this is an opportunity for all of you out there who constantly complain about action movies and all of the superficial stories that are told on television. If you're really into depth, well, here's a way of supporting a program that's thoughtful and causes us to contemplate about the deeper meanings of life and our life experience. Also, to order our books, cassette tapes of the radio shows, cassette tapes of some of our books, a free booklet, and by the way, the free booklet today is Aging on the Pathway of the Soul. It's a 20-page booklet, and I think you'll find it very informative. And I think you, as you age, I think this is especially important because it helps you to, reading this gives you insights into how we perhaps can think of our aging in a very different way and in a more creative way. I think it'll really stimulate you to have some pause for thought about aging and look at it differently and not with the negativity that society sometimes views aging as. It's quite philosophical. Once again, the booklet that we're giving to you free of charge, all you have to do is give us a call on our toll-free number. The booklet is Aging. Just ask for us to send you Aging on the Pathway of the Soul. It's a 20-page booklet. And you can order that booklet, or any of our books for that matter, by calling on the toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247. That's 1-866-695-8247. An easy way to remember is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York Lucis, and 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Does old age necessarily bring wisdom?
Well, that's a good question. It brings to mind that old cliche, there's no fool like an old fool, which I'm beginning to realize has certain sting to it. When you're very young and you make mistakes, you think, well, okay, I never experienced that before. Give me some time and I'll get my act straight. But as you get older and you find yourself making the same mistakes over and over, you begin to realize some things probably I'm never going to learn in this particular lifetime. So you don't necessarily get wiser as you get older. You can, though. It's a matter of choice. I think you have to choose wisdom. You have to choose humility, which is a direct component to wisdom, I think, because the humility of facing yourself and learning from experience is what opens you up to wisdom. And if you go through life with a certain fixed attitude about yourself and a sense of being always right, then you don't face your mistakes and you don't learn.
No, it's a matter of applying the experience and the knowledge that you've gained in life, and assuming that you have gained in life, and most people have, just by simply being and living, and applying that with love, because it's said in the Bailey books that wisdom comes after the knowledge gained in life, and knowledge precedes wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the applying of knowledge with love that combine those two to express wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really based on loving understanding.
I think there are certain factors that we can all cultivate that might bring wisdom in old age. One would be cultivating a habit of looking back at your life and trying to see patterns and trying to identify certain cycles. I've known people that seem to be able to break down their life in terms of 10-year cycles or 7-year cycles. And when they do this, they can see definite changes and new levels reached at each cycle, and it's quite interesting to examine your life in that way. The seven-year cycle is quite a frequently used one in the spiritual path. If you identify yourself at the age of 7, at 14, 21, 28, and 35, and so on, you can see real expansions of consciousness, probably, real crises in the sense of turning points that are reached. And that can help you to see that you are, in fact, gaining in wisdom. And that can be deeply encouraging. There are certain years within the life that the Ageless Wisdom says are really crucial. One is the 28th year. And if you... Now, that's not hard and fast. You could say that could be between 27 and 29. You can identify quite often a real turning point there, the age of 35 or so. Mm-hmm. Another point is around the age of 56, 57, and another at 63. These are critical points in the evolution of any soul.
Yes, and these are stages that have been developed through what we call the ageless wisdom, which is kind of an interesting term. We're talking about age here, and here is the wisdom of these teachings that in the books of Alice Bailey that are described as being ageless, because they are applicable to any time, and they're applicable now and will be in the future and were in the past, so they don't have an age to them. And I think that's the great thing about wisdom, that there is a an ageless truth to it.
Yeah, the aging factor, again coming back to this point, is the body. And there's no denying that as one gets older, the body does begin to lose some of its vitality and its elasticity in all senses of that word. But if you have cultivated a detachment toward your body, toward the outer material world, if you've cultivated a habit of lessening your desires for material things, including your own material appearance and so on, then you can begin to see that the wisdom of life is the realization that there's so much more to life than the outer realm. And there's something that happens as people get older that makes them especially open to the inner subjective view of the world.
And I think people would want this information. If you'd like to key into our website and find out a lot about our archived library of shows, you can certainly do so by keying into www.lucistrust.org. And also, if you'd like to make more direct contact with with Lucis Trust and its staff, you're welcome to come to our monthly meditation meetings. And please write or call for a meeting schedule. And once again, that phone number, easy way to remember it, is 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Can spiritual disciplines such as meditation and study help to prepare one for old age?
Yes, I think they can be a tremendous preparation, and anyone at any stage of life can develop the practice of meditation and spiritual study. All of that effort does lead toward a really meaningful old age. But there are specific techniques, such as developing the continuity of consciousness when one falls asleep, for example, that can help one to prepare for death, it's said. But I would say to our listeners, please don't call us up and ask us for these techniques. They are techniques that one learns through deep study and meditation and can't be simply handed out to a beginner. But there are practices that can enable one to disengage one's focus and one's concentration from the outer realm and the brain component and begin to withdraw to the more abstract levels. And at the time of death, that abstraction is complete and total.
Mm-hmm. And also, I just want to mention again about the pamphlet, or the booklet, actually, we're giving away today. In the back of that booklet has excerpts from a number of aged citizens, a number of aged people who have kindly written out their impressions of their old age, and particularly it has to do with this question of study and meditation, because all of these people have spent a good part of their life in study and meditation, and they express how much that has helped them through mm-hmm. these later years. Their lives are more full, and their minds are still active, and they have deepened their life experience by spiritual study, and this is very, very important to them. And there's a fascinating kind of excerpts in the back of this commentary from these wonderful people.
And what struck me in reading them was what joy these people felt in looking back over their life. And we know some of them personally, and we know that their lives were not particularly blessed with freedom from problems, not that at all. Many of them endured real crises, but they looked back at their life with joy because they could see the pattern of the soul unfolding, and there was meaning in their lives. And I think that comes from meditation and study. You're looking for the pattern. You're looking for how you fit into the larger whole. You're not just focused on your own individuality, but how you built relationships with others and how you served God's plan. This is what comes through meditation and study, and they were able to identify that. So their testimonials, mm-hmm. or whatever you call them, are really, they're touching mm-hmm. to read and encouraging.
Yes, I just might mention one lady here. She was 84 years old, and she had done everything in her life, and she said, you come to the conclusions that, as St. Paul put it, having done all, to stand.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about pretty much what many people at the close of their lives have to do. So,
and if you'd like that booklet, that we'll be delighted to send you out and send out to you free of charge. It's just ask for the booklet, Aging on the Pathway of the Soul, and give us a call at our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247, the easy way. 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York Lucis, and we'll send it out to you free of charge. And at this time of year, we hold our most important public meetings, the three spiritual festivals, and the annual Arcane School Conference, all of which are coming up in March and April. You're welcome to attend and meet other people who share an interest in this work and teaching. Please write or call for a meeting schedule and conference program. And also, if you'd like a general package of information, we'll send that out to you free of charge. And give us a call once again, 1-866-NY-LUCIS, for the general package of information and the free booklet, Aging, on Aging on the Pathway of the Soul. That's about all the time we have for our discussion today. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we'd like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.